love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
Luro. 6'17". I'm a goddamn man. I'm a goddamn. Yeah, that's right. Two Martinis gonna be a bad night. My boy right here taking the TV title, and I'm gonna take Big Bird, and I'm gonna whoop his ass in New York City, baby.
And Marvel 2K.
He's fat. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to episode 117 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of October 28th, 2015. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Marvel 2K and Luro. Luro, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. And Marvel 2K.
Good.
All right. Let's go into our first. Actually, you know what? There's no news today, so we're going to go straight into this week's lightning round. To halfguard.com or listen to last week's show, you saw tentatively we had nothing for the lightning round, but as usual we read this week's books and decided to bump stuff up. Something in particular I wanted to bump up was this week's All-Star Section 8, and Laura wasn't gonna fight me on that one, so we bumped that up. And then we all agreed, at least me and Marvel agreed, that we're gonna bump up House of M to this week's lightning round.
Yep.
All right, let's start with House of M then, since we're talking about it now.
This was the last issue of the House of M Secret Wars title.
Yes.
Basically, I mean, it was a quick read. Magneto, with the help of the humans, he was able to take back his kingdom from his son. Quicksilver and would refuse to admit to wrongdoing.
that was sad.
He's like, own it, own it.
Yeah, he openly wanted to dethrone his father just, you know, for his personal sake. But then he tried to justify it like, oh, you know, Namor was going to come and conquer anyway. This way, nobody had to die. And Magneto was just so disappointed, really, in his son. It didn't even seem like he was mad that he was trying to kill him. He's just like, just own up to it, son. Because at the very end of the book, he's not even like, he lets his son live. You think as vengeful or as angry Magneto can be, I think they bring up in the book that one of Magneto's weaknesses is that, you know, he loves his kids so much that even when they try to kill him, he's like, well, I'm not going to do anything to him. He suffered enough.
So yeah, they were able to defeat Namor. He regains his powers because Wiccan is able to give him back to him. And, in the end, he lets the humans go, the ones that helped him out. But, you know, he, business as usual. He continued to rule like he has in the past. He didn't make any sweeping changes. He's still the king.
Well, he made some permanent sweeping changes, but in the book he did acknowledge that, you know, for this one instance, I'm gonna show some respect to the human race. But yeah. Then even when Polaris brought this up, he's like, nothing has changed permanently or long term. I still don't trust humanity, yeah. But just for today, because they helped me get my throne back. To me, the whole point of the story seemed to be Magneto, even though he hated not being king, he sort of loved the struggle of trying to get his crown back. Because I remember even at the end of the book, he's kind of reflecting to what just happened. He's like, you know what, I like being king and all, but if anything, he lives for the struggle.
Yeah, but he also, remember, he kind of was, he was feeling bad when the soldiers, his royal army, mm-hmm. didn't even recognize him. And then, like, Hawkeye pointed it out. He's like, you're right. It was like that episode of Simpsons. Remember when, Mr. Burns sold the power plant, mm-hmm. and, nobody had, you know, feared him or had respect for him anymore?
I guess, but to me, I have to go back to my original point, because the first issue of this was really dealing with how Magneto got everything he wanted and he was bored by it. And in this issue, he seems, when he finally got his throne back, he was, you know, he reveled in it. It's good to be the king, but you can tell he was sort of reflecting of all the struggle, all the, you know, the conflict, the people that he had to kill to get back his throne. And sort of, I think the takeaway from the story, at least for me, was, you know, Magneto just lives for the struggle. He doesn't really care about actually achieving his means.
Yeah.
All right. And our second lightning round book is All-Star Section 8, which I found to be an absolute chore this week, but, I think, Lura, you hit me up on Facebook. You said I was being a little hard on this book.
I think the reason you didn't care is because you have no affection for DC at all.
That's not true. I read Justice League and I read Batman, and you know what?
But you have the history of DC. Like, you don't know really any of these characters.
I gave Book of the Week to Lois and Clark. They dealt with the original Superman.
That's not what he's.
That's not what I'm saying. You like, why would, okay, so basically half of this book was, and this is a comedy book.
Mm-hmm.
When you have no conception of these characters, you can't appreciate the comedy because it came from them acting out of character.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The first 10 pages of this book was, Sixpack was basically passed out drunk. He was having a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it featured him going through the afterlife. Phantom Stranger took him along this journey, but Phantom Stranger was speaking entirely in rap.
I found that was go away heat with me. Cause I understand what he was going for, but when you write it, like literally the dialogue is part of that rap and all the slang. It's like, it's hard to read and hard to keep track of the story.
Well, there's lots of stuff where it was like, you know, he was rapping, which was a joke based on the fact that Etrigan, which was a character that Ennis wrote for a long period of time, the Section 8 he was trying to put together were characters he dealt with. Etrigan speaks in rhyme, so Phantom Stranger was speaking in rap.
Terrible.
He also plugged the Ennis and McCrae run of Hitman within the text of this, which I thought was kind of funny, but there were a couple jokes in this, like, you know, he's there and the whole team is there and he's like, well, where's Dog Welder? Why isn't he there? And they're like, why the fuck would a guy who welds dogs to people be in heaven? And he's like, oh yeah, that's a good point.
But, and here's the thing, when you bring up those characters, it's not like I haven't liked issues of All-Star Section 8 before. I mean, I do like Dog Welder and I do like the Grappler, which, you know, they were in this issue, but they weren't as prominent as they were in other issues.
No, it was basically him just calling back to more of the original series, and like Hitman was there, but he didn't really speak at all, which I thought was kind of funny because he was the main character and these guys are all secondary characters, but in this he was such a secondary character that they didn't even let him talk, which is funny. And then in the end, Superman shows up. So the last issue of this is going to be dealing with Superman.
And when he says Superman, this is New 52 Superman, so I was bummed. I saw the
But it should be, because whatever, that's what they're dealing with. But yeah, I mean, why didn't I fight it being in Lightning Round? Well, because this isn't a title of any import. It's just not. It never has been. It's never gonna be, but that's, you know, that's not the point of it. It's a goofy comic.
Yeah, and I think this is gonna be a limited series, so. You know,
it always was.
Yeah, if this was going to be a continuing series, I would say, Lurro, I'm going to drop this book right now and just not even bother.
The next issue is the last.
Yeah,
issue.
So I'm going to just stick with the book and see how it ends. Cause, you know, I got one more issue to go. Might as well just see how it ends. And like I said, so far, you know, I've read, I think, all but the second issue and all of them I liked up to this point. So I don't see why I shouldn't just at least see it to the end. All right, with that all the way, that concludes our Lightning Round titles. And Marvel, I believe you are on music, so let's go into this week's books. Only yesterday, they told me you were gone. All these normal people, will I find another one? Monkey on my back, waking in my bones. I forgot to say, one day you'll walk home. I said I need you. That make me wrong? Am I a weak man? Are you feeling strong? My heart was blackened, it's bloody red. A hole in my heart, a hole in my head. Nice, Marvel. What was that? Is that Megadeth?
Yeah.
Nice. What song is that?
Addicted to Chaos.
Nice. All right. All right, speaking of chaos, this week's books. Bad transition, yeah, I know. All right, this week's books, which are as follows. Art Ops 1, Justice League 3000, Issue 5, Prez 5, Black Magic 1, Angela, Queen of Hell 1, Captain America, Sam Wilson 2, Chewbacca 2, Howling Commando of S.H.I.E.L.D. 1, Kanan 7, New Avengers 2, Spider-Man 2099, Issue 2, Squirrel Girl 1, Where Monsters Dwell 5, and Book of Death number 4.
Well, given that the Megadeth song had line Monkey on My Back, I think we should go directly to Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. because one of the characters is a monkey with guns.
Yes.
Who wields shotguns with his monkey feet, which I love.
Who is my favorite new character in comics.
Yeah, we're talking Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one, writer Frank Barbary, art by Brent Schoonover.
They'll be announcing this book is canceled in about a month.
Yeah.
I liked this, but it's going to get canceled.
And this is spun off from the canceled S.H.I.E.L.D. comic. Or I think it's about to be canceled, S.H.I.E.L.D. comic.
Which Marvel had to tell us, because I did think it was kind of a sudden, like, hey, this is a team. They didn't do a lot of team building. It was just like, hey, there's a team here. What's the premise of this book? Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. has to deal with
supernatural threats.
And this is the team that deals with them. Dum Dum Dugan. And
hold up, I got
the full cast, Marvel?
Yeah, I got the full cast. Hold up.
All right.
It's Dum Dum Dugan. Zombie Jasper Sitwell, the Manphibian, Vampire by Night, Orgo, Teen Abomination, the Hit Monkey, and Man-Thing.
See, I can already tell you from, I'm looking at the cover for issue one, and there's way too many members on this team.
But it doesn't matter, because a lot of them, like, Man-Thing can't talk, the zombie is a zombie, he can't really talk.
Okay, but do you need Kid Abomination and the Aqua guy? Like, to me,
you have to have some people who can talk.
Yeah, the monkey.
And they're monsters.
Doesn't talk.
Yeah, they're going for a group of
I know,
weird
but when
characters.
You're dealing with a book that we've already admitted has, you know, problems, it's like, do you really need a, like,
No, we're not. I'm not admitting this book has problems. This book is exactly what this book should be. They're taking characters who are not going to be used anywhere else and giving them a reason to exist in the Marvel Universe. It's a loose reason for existing. It's like, we're going to take these monster characters and they fight monsters. That's the plot of this book. It's not a hefty plot. And we're not going to get deep
you don't
story.
Say.
And they suck, by the way. They suck as a team. They failed the first mission.
No, they're not a good team. But there was a lot of humor in this book. You've got Hit Monkey, who is a monkey who uses guns and shoots things. You've got the zombie who is he's a fucking zombie. He's completely worthless on a team. In fact, one of the first things he does is he's got a freaking like a rocket launcher and he shoots it the wrong way because he's a zombie. And Dugan even comments, why did we give him the rocket launcher?
like he's not even mad at the zombie. He's like, we made this mistake. Why did we do this?
Yeah, and in fact, Dugan gets killed by the zombie because, like, they complete their mission and they're leaving. And he's like, no, I'll leave no man behind. So he has to go back to get the zombie. And they're like, seriously, you're going to go rescue him? Ah, I'm going to get him. And, of course, the zombie kills him.
By accident.
Yeah, by accident, because he's a fucking zombie and he's an idiot. And he blows up Dugan, but Dugan... You know, he's an LMD, so he gets, you know, his consciousness gets moved to another body, and the first thing he asks is, where do you keep my hats? But he also says, I can make these fuckers a team. If anyone can do it, Dum Dum Dugan can do it. Apparently, most of the team is kept in, like, little cages until it's time for them to go fight.
Yeah.
They haven't explained why the man thing is... a part of this team, aside from the fact that they're all a bunch of monsters. And in fact, Man-Thing was used like Hulk
the
was previously
hitter,
used in the Wade Hulk book, where they just kind of drop him into situations and he grabs everybody and he burns them up. But yeah, the book is apparently going to be Dugan trying to take these misfits and crafting them into some kind of team. And given the way Marvel runs, what I predict will happen is they will work at this premise and it will get over with me. It will probably be a fun little book. And when they finally start to come together as a team, they'll announce the cancellation.
Or they'll probably, what I'm hoping they'll do, they'll stick another writer on this and it'll give it maybe a little bit more life. Like when I think of this book, I'm thinking of Thunderbolts, a book I initially didn't care for, but when they stuck Soul on it, that kind of gave it some more legs, even though it wasn't selling too well.
I don't think this is anywhere near as weak as Thunderbolts was. Thunderbolts was just kind of a weak title from the start. Mm. And yes, putting Soul on it.
But Barbary's pretty good, isn't he? He's one of those Valiant writers, isn't he?
Is he?
Think so.
I don't know. I just didn't think this is a bad book. I think given the sort of weak nature of some of the characters, this is probably the best they could have done with it. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was cute, but with that said, I have no desire to ever read a second issue.
This does much more with its premise than Uncanny Avengers did.
Yeah, but that's saying the bar awfully low.
Which Uncanny Avengers has a premise that they do nothing with. Like, it's supposed to be like, oh, this is a team that brings mutants and human heroes and Inhumans now together. And they really do nothing about that because the first issue was all about Deadpool. This book was about a team of monsters fighting monsters. And it was a team of monsters fighting monsters with the one person who is normal. That normal person being LMD Dum Dum Dugan said, I'm going to take these fuckers and I'm going to turn them into a team. Damn it. They're going to be a team of Howling Commandos.
Oh, Barbary, he's an image writer, but he also wrote Avengers World.
Okay. Oh, nice. Well, and Avengers World was fine.
Yeah.
So I thought this was fine. I'm going to keep Marvel. Are you going to keep reading this?
I you know what? I will keep reading this. I can't say the same for something like Squirrel Girl because there's something about comedy comics I don't know.
It's not even. It's
well, this has some more action.
Yeah, this has more action. You know, this is not that goofy, but it's.
We can use that comment to move into Squirrel Girl.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm saying even it's not just because it's a comedy book because there's plenty of other comedy books that we read and kept up with that we like. It's just I think it's this brand of humor where it's just like it's too cute for its own good. Like I can deal with this maybe in small doses. Like, okay, I read Squirrel Girl number one, and that held me over for like.
Well, okay, so you don't read the next issue of this, and me and Marvel will read the next issue of this.
Okay. Oh, well, like I said, we're already transitioning to Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number one. Writer Ryan North, art by Erica Henderson.
I like this. I'm never going to review this.
Yeah,
again.
You're right. You're right. It was a good book. There was technically nothing wrong with it. Maybe it was, you know, there were instances where they're being too cute for their own good. But with that said, I have no desire to ever read issue two.
I'm going to continue to read this book. I continue to read the last Squirrel Girl book, but we decided we have no reason to review this, and we don't.
Because there's nothing really.
Yeah, and it was a funny book, but.
Self-contained funny book that has no ramifications.
I think that's it, Marvel. There's no hook for the series. Like, okay, I liked this first issue, but I get the feeling there's no hook to read. There's no motivation for me to read the second issue. When I know what the second issue is going to be, it's going to be just more of this. And that's fine if you want that, but I'm like, there's plenty of books I want to read. And like, I know what Squirrel Girl is.
What's the comedy book we kept? Howard the Duck.
Yes.
We kept reading Howard the Duck because Howard the Duck will do like 4-issue storylines.
Yeah.
And it'll have, you know, your guest stars and stuff. Squirrel Girl doesn't do that. Squirrel Girl has its own cast, which is good because it allows it to be a contained story and it is funny. And it's kept the same humor that it had in the first 8 issues before they did a relaunch. And there was a joke about that in this book that, you know, we're already on our second and we're only on our second relaunch.
Second number one in a year.
In a year. Which, you know, hey, that's Marvel's gimmick. I guess at least Marvel can make fun of themselves for how ridiculous it is that they keep relaunching books. But no, this book was about Squirrel Girl and she's moved into a new place and we've got the chipmunk hunk.
But which is great, by the way.
And, her roommate sort of runs the Squirrel Girl team because her roommate has no powers.
No, not at all.
Not even suspect powers. So she just kind of stood outside the burning building they were rescuing people from and told them where to be. The subplot of this was Squirrel Girl wanted her roommate to meet her mom.
Yeah, her mom is named Maureen.
Maureen, and her dad was...
Dor.
They basically just combined the two moms, the mom and the dad's name.
To make Doreen.
That was how she got her name. And they did have a joke about that. God, I can't remember what it was, but it basically came out that the kid's name would be Stinky. Oh, it was like Steve and they said somewhere there is a daughter of Steve, and I think it was like Pinky. And Stinky is very upset that her parents chose this name in convention. And, you know, there was... it was a goofy book. She really liked... her roommate really likes her mom because her mom, as moms do, did nothing but tell embarrassing stories of Squirrel Girl when she was a kid.
Funny thing is, we had a little bit of retconning. Apparently she's not a mutant now.
No, and I told Marvel I thought that was really funny because they kind of had a big point to point out that she is not a mutant, and this doctor says she's not a mutant, and the joking reason of why they did that is because if she is a mutant, Marvel cannot use her in films. Not that Fox is going to jump to use Squirrel Girl.
Although they should.
Yeah, but they made it a point to say, no, this character is not a mutant, even though you might think she's a mutant, so we own this character, damn it. And she's an Avenger. And, you know, they did do some stuff with the fact that she's on the new Avengers team, so, like, she showed them she keeps her Avengers teleporter in the closet.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, well, you can teleport anywhere with this? She's like, oh, no, I can just teleport to Avengers Island. But they got a great food court. I could bring you guys to it.
No, even she was kind of bummed by the idea. She's like, you know, when they told me I was going to get a teleporter, you know, my natural inclination was to be like, oh, can I go to the moon? Can I go to France? And it's like, no, this thing only goes to Avengers Island. She was kind of bummed by that.
You can just go to Avengers Island, which they never got to go to because a robot attacked. They thought it was an evil robot, but it wasn't. It was just a robot.
His name is Brain Drain.
Yeah, and she pulled out her, assuming it was a villain, she pulled out her Deadpool card and then remarked that, well, there's no weakness on this. It's just worthless backstory, which is what it was. It was just worthless backstory for this nothing character who apparently was an existing character that nobody cared about.
Apparently from Hydra. It was a World War II developed robot or some shit.
It was an alien robot, but I guess for whatever reason why, because it was so aggressive and whatnot, it had joined the ranks of Hydra. Even though the brain itself and the person in that was the Brain Drain character wasn't really too keen on the Hydra thing.
No, he wasn't evil at all, and like when he showed up, he's like murder and death, and he had tippy toes and the roommate's cat, and said he was going to kill him, but really the only reason he said he was going to kill him was because he had this evil stuff built in, because apparently the aliens who built him were evil, because they are aliens.
Well, it wasn't even so much that it was evil, it's just, you know, they thought, you know, I got to be defensive of myself, and they figure, well, a good defense is a good offense. So I'm going to try to keep this brain, healthy, or to defend it. And the best way to defend it is by keeping everybody off kilter and by saying all these horrific things that they'll leave him alone.
Yes, and they felt bad for trying to fight him, even though he wasn't really bad. Oh, check out
this origin story for this guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking on Wikipedia right now where he's made up in the Nazi attire. Yeah,
in World War II, a falling meteorite all but killed him, but the meteorite was in fact a spaceship. The four alien inhabitants saving, his name was Schmidt, Werner Schmidt. They saved his brain and eyes and placed him in a robot form.
Wow.
With his brain waves heightened during the process.
See, this is one of those things where at the time when they unveiled this character in, I think it's, let's see if I can find the
75.
In 75, they obviously were going for deadly serious, but it's one of those things to where you read it now and it comes off laughs. So in 2015, when they decided to stick this character in a Squirrel Girl book, they decided, you know, keep the character verbatim, but because it's 2015 now, they just play it for laughs.
Yeah, it's just the character couldn't do anything. They dressed him up in whatever clothes they could find and registered him for school and decided he should also get a computer science major because that's what Squirrel Girl and her roommate are getting.
That was cute.
And by the way, one of their methods of fighting him was they determined since he's a robot, we'll just give him lots of computer science facts. But he had absolutely no interest in this whatsoever.
Because he was developed in the 40s.
Yeah, and all their stuff was modern facts.
So he studied stuff like vacuum tubes in his system. So when they initially, you know, they took him down, they, you know, obviously rewired his body, but they're like, oh, when we think about it, you know, he really wasn't trying to come aggressive, but you know, the fact of the matter is we completely screwed up his body and we don't have the technology to fix him anymore.
And let me point out, computer science majors, I majored in information systems, so I have some familiarity with what computer science majors would do, and they would not necessarily know how to rebuild a robot. They learn how to write fucking code, not build robots. But this is a silly comic, so you know, you shouldn't be bothered by that.
For the kids that are reading Squirrel Girl and be like, oh, I love Squirrel Girl, I want to go into computer information science too.
Yeah, but you will not know how to reprogram robots.
No, that probably
you could rewrite their code theoretically.
That'd probably be something for an electrical engineer, right?
Yes, the physical building of a robot would not be done by a computer science student at all.
So for you kids,
this is apparently going to be a cast member.
What's that?
This will apparently be a cast member along with, you know, her roommate and the chipmunk hunk and Tippy Toes. You're going to have Brain Drain, the goofy ass robot, former Hydra agent, robot.
This is one of those instances where I had my opinion of this book, but the more we read it, I think I've sort of lightened up on this book, and maybe I'll read an issue two.
No, I like I said, I will read issue two, but I see no reason to talk about it on this show.
Yeah, you know what? Depending what kind of week we have when Squirrel Girl 2 comes out, I may do a review.
Okay, yeah. If it's a light review, we could talk about it. Because I'm going to continue reading it, and if you're going to keep reading it, then we could talk about it if we have a light week.
And this is a perfect instance, because this was kind of a light week, or lighter week.
Oh, yeah, it was fine. It was number one, but it's just, you know, like they said, there was no reason to do a relaunch. It didn't even get a new name.
And there wasn't like this big, you know, we're going to tell all these new stories, so we have to go to a number one. No, it's just, it's all part of the same marketing thing they're doing with the all new, all different Marvel. So it just needed a different number for reasons.
Yeah. Well, because you get some increased sales because it's number one.
Well, uh-huh. And thank you, Marvel.
So that was Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. If it sounds like we're taking our sweet time, it's because we don't have that many books this week, so.
Yeah, and hey, keeping with Squirrel Girl, let's talk about New Avengers, because Squirrel Girl was in it. I had a big problem with New Avengers.
Okay.
In that, if you will recall, I said the main hooks on this are going to be, why the hell is this a team? We got nothing on that in this issue.
No. And you know what? If it wasn't for the fact that I'm a big mark for any kind of Reed Richards, I probably wouldn't be reading this book, but because it does. Ooh.
By the way, is completely unsuited for this book.
Yes. Yeah, because you know what? Because he's supposed to be a deadly serious character, and he's coming off as a goofball.
No, I was going to say, he was actually, I thought he was kept fairly serious in this. But that's a problem, because this book
is not serious.
Doesn't seem like it needs a serious villain. Mm. So you've got Evil Reed, who's like cutting things up and reassembling them into new creatures. And he's creepy, and that's creepy, but he's fighting a team that includes Squirrel Girl.
I think he came off a little goofy, though.
Yeah, see, there were instances where he was, you know, laughing like an evil scientist, like Dr.
Because
Frankenstein.
He is. But that's his character,
but
though.
He was too over the top. It's like, he's not Dr. Frankenstein. He's, I don't even know what
he is. He is now, because he's officially in the Marvel U, and he is Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be over the top. Richard. He's supposed to be, you know, I'm trying to think of a more deadly serious scientist. The only one that comes to mind is Doom, but even Doom's sort of over the top too.
No, but you can't say what he's supposed to be, because he was in the Ultimate Universe. The Ultimate Universe is gone. They have now said this character, Evil Reed, is kind of a goofball fighting the team of goofballs.
I've kept track of everything they've done with him in the Ultimate Universe. And it's
most people have it, because the Ultimate Universe was a failure by the time Evil Reed was the thing.
But Femin has a point. He's never been this.
But no, but what I'm saying is nobody knows that, because
they know that. But you know, they put him in another book and just do that. That worked.
But they chose not to.
In other words, what I'm saying is he's supposed to be a bit of a heavy hitter, and they're treating him like a complete goofball.
Right.
This team is not the team for him to take on.
Yeah, not at all.
If they wanted to do something with that character, apparently they don't, because they put him here. Like, if you liked Evil Reed, that's great, but nobody disliked Evil Reed because he was in books nobody read.
Okay,
in a line that was canceled due to low sales.
Okay, I'll give you that point in the sense that, but then, you know what? Okay, I don't know about Marvel, but I'm willing to cave in because in the sense that I am sort of just fanboying out. So from Lurrell's point of view, I kind of understand where he's coming from. So I can't speak for Marvel, but to a degree, I kind of agree with Lurrell now. Like I can kind of
I'm gonna keep reading this because the one thing I'll give them is that at least the book has a different tone. And the problem is, so did this book and Uncanny Avengers are pretty much kind of goofy Avengers books. But this one I like more than Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna keep reading it. Now they did tease that something's going on with Sunspot. Like he was kind of looking off and he wasn't quite paying attention and they called it out, but they didn't say what was going on with it. Ewing is dropping hints in this book that there's more going on with him. There's more going on with this team. There's something going on with Reed.
I'm wondering if the thing at the end, I wonder if, cause you notice like in this book, they took on these crystal headed people, zombie things, and they were doing pretty poorly, but then Sunspot used this think tank to help them defeat them.
Which, by the way, was, again, I thought that was neat. Because he actually is doing, and he did it in the first issue, he actually is doing something with the fact that he has
AIM people.
Yeah, he has AIM, and he used them again, and he used them more effectively in this, where they couldn't figure out what to do, and Squirrel Girl and Tippy Toe.
Who, by the way, had a crystal head.
Yes, they all got crystal heads, and Tippy Toes with the crystal head was pretty damn funny. He puts out his call to his AIM people and said, hey, first one who solves this problem gets Alexis. And it took the collective forces of AIM about two pages to completely solve this problem, which is what you would expect from a group of a bunch of evil, formerly evil, super smart scientists.
Yeah, that's the thing we got to emphasize here. When he says AIM, he's referring to the Avengers idea mechanics. He's not talking about the other side of AIM that Reed just took over.
Yeah, Whisper is what they're called.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
They gave a name.
Evil AIM is now called Whisper, run by Evil Reed, and Good AIM is Avengers idea mechanics, which is run by Sunspot.
Oh, right. You know, I'm starting to wonder when you were talking about dropping hints. I think there's a reason why they remember how like you're like, why is this team together? I think there's something to that will probably be revealed down the line, whether good or bad.
And that is both the strength of this book and the reason why this book, along with Uncanny Avengers, is if it doesn't catch on, it's going to get shit canned before any of this gets revealed.
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem is, with this book at least, I think there is some strength to this, to all the stuff he's dropping, which will probably later be revealed, whereas with Uncanny Avengers, I don't give a shit. They did nothing.
Yeah. But this is issue two of New Avengers. We've only had one of Uncanny Avengers, so...
Yeah, but I didn't even want to read the second issue.
We need a second issue to determine whether it's going somewhere.
Well, Marvel, you can read Uncanny Avengers issue two for us and let us know what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I already dropped Uncanny Avengers once for not doing much with its premise.
As am I.
And then they relaunched it, and they further weakened its premise by adding a third faction.
Hey. Let the record show that I did shit can that first issue.
You did. No. I'm not crapping on you. I'm crapping on that book.
I'm talking to Fettman.
Okay, sorry about that.
So I'm gonna keep reading New Avengers because, you know, he's opening it up. And I actually found it was interesting with as easy as they stopped the problem, Evil Reed didn't really care. Like when they're coming to him, they're like, oh, they beat us. And he's like, oh, well, I'm doing something with, you know, this malevolent demon, other dimensional thing from like the fifth iteration of the multiverse or whatever he was. And that thing is still out there, which they showed, but we don't know when they're going to come back to it.
Yeah, and just so I can get my gimmick out of the way, this is a writer Al Ewing art by Gerardo Sandoval.
Yeah, and the art was fine.
Yeah.
And it's weird because Ewing isn't overall like a goofy writer, so he's dealing with this fairly goofy team, but he's dropping some things that lead you to believe it's going to become more serious. And I am interested in this team being used in a somewhat serious fashion. It's just a matter of how he's going to move forward with that. And that's why I'm going to continue to read this book.
Speaking of Whisper, wasn't Whisper also name dropped in Captain America Sam Wilson number 2?
I don't remember.
I believe it was this person who had, you know, found this information.
Oh,
about
No, that wasn't that. Well, speaking of, I guess since we're transitioning, actually, I already know what you're talking about.
Yeah, obviously Captain America.
Let's go into that book.
Yeah, okay. Nick Spencer, art by Daniel Acuna.
Okay, the Captain America. Basically, what it boils down to here's in a nutshell is there's an Edward Snowden like figure called the Whisperer that leaks a bunch of
Shield info. Oh, that's where I got it. Okay. Yeah.
He leaks a bunch of Shield info on how they were spying on people and issuing a proposal using small fragments of the cosmic cube to rewrite reality if need be. Because they're like,
but they said they did in fact junk this.
Yes.
And the whole thing is like, Steve Rogers is like, oh, we got to go get this guy, and Sam Wilson is like, no. He didn't do anything really wrong.
But Steve did have a point. Steve agreed with Sam Wilson, the Falcon, that I stand by him. I don't think this is right. But Steve Rogers' thing was he did break the law in the sense that he did leak other information that was compromised besides this thing with the Cosmic Cube.
But what Sam Wilson was, he was like, they said that. They said that he did this, but I don't know if I believe them. And they further laid out the differences between Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers, whereas Steve Rogers, he said, you know, he will always think that in the end, America will do the right thing. Sam Wilson just hopes that they will, but he doesn't necessarily think they will.
Yeah, and that's sort of how the issue ends. It ends with him having that little monologue, and then he uses that transport he got from the Serpent Society to transport himself off the plane, and then he just sort of just ended the issue with him, obviously hoping to go after this informant.
Yeah, apparently there was a slight swerve. The Sons of the Serpents were working with some of these illegals to kidnap people for human trafficking, apparently.
Yeah, the guy who was getting the illegals out was actually going to send them up to be used for some sort of nefarious means.
Yeah, and he wasn't illegal himself. He just happened to be working with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, No, because that's political. I was about to say something political.
Well, you
side say with Sam Wilson.
Say something political.
More than I side with Steve Rogers. I will say that.
What's that?
I side more with Sam Wilson on this than I do with Steve Rogers.
I was about to say, you know what? You could expound your opinion, and I could do equal time.
Nah, that's okay. Oh, speaking of other political books, Prez,
which I love this week's Prez. Really, you guys? Oh, between you guys,
I thought it was funny, but
between you guys putting over Howling Commandos and you guys not being too hot on Prez.
I liked Howling Commandos more than Prez, by the way.
Okay, Prez number 5, writer Mark Russell, art by Ben Caldwell. I don't know, I loved it, and I'm going to tell you guys right now, right off the bat, this is a contender for Book of the Week. At least IMO.
Since Marvel said he liked Howling Commandos or S.H.I.E.L.D. more, and so did I, and I do not consider Howling Commandos a contender for Book of the Week. I obviously do not consider this a contender for Book of the Week. I thought it was a funny book, but again, as far as like, you know, we're going through these, you know, kind of a funny political book, I have all week been rereading Transmetropolitan.
Okay, that's not fair.
And it is so vastly superior to this book.
Yeah, but that didn't come out this week, so. It's not fair.
No, but maybe that's why I didn't think as much of this as you. Now, like I said, I thought it was funny, but that was it. That was all I thought about this. Like, oh yeah, this is kind of funny.
See,
I like the cute idea of, you know, the young president going around and apologizing for all the terrible things America's done and, like, actually meeting with the terrorist groups.
I like that she meets with all the terrorist group, and then some of them were, you know, kind of accepting. I think somebody from the Middle East was just like, blank you.
Oh, those Iraq.
Yeah, she was like, they show her going to all these places, and, like, you know, she apologized for, you know, dropping the nukes on Japan and stuff, and they're like, okay, well, that happened a long time ago. In fact, most of them said, like, oh, well, thanks, but that happened a long time ago.
Iraq was the best, though.
Yeah, she went to Iraq, and she's like, sorry. And whoever Iraqi president is said, fuck you.
Went to Pakistan, and Pakistan, it was like one of those things where it's like, she wanted to get rid of a drone thing, but she was also hoping that was hurting the Pakistanis because their insurgents were, you know, being kept.
Now just shooting the shit out of any plane.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, yeah, I know that was going to be a problem, so I'm going to go talk to them. Which she did, and they were confused.
They also made fun of the pharmaceutical companies in this.
Oh, yeah, the pharmaceutical company straight up said, oh, we have a cure, but, you know, we're going to have to cancel things, and we're going to have to do that, and it's going to cost money. And then you saw when they were talking private to themselves,
yeah,
they're like, we had no cure.
The best thing. They're like, okay, well, yeah, we can release this cure for it, or it was a vaccine. We can release that, but we're going to need $9 billion. Also, we're going to have to keep the money that we're going to make from selling the vaccine.
And then the best part was when they were, like I said before, they were talking in private. You're like, we don't really have a cure. We just have to tell the public we have a cure. So, you know, obviously our stock price will go up.
No, it wasn't that. That wasn't it.
Oh?
They actually have a cure, but they can't release the cure yet because their stock keeps going up.
Oh.
Because they think they have a cure, but once they announce, yes, we actually have a cure, their stock price is going to stop going up.
Okay.
Which was very funny. I do admit that, but, you know, that's kind of all there is to this. And, I don't know if I said this last week, but, you know, it was originally going to be 12 issues. They cut it back to 6. That is true. It's going to end in the next one, but then they're going to do the next 6 issues later on down the line.
Oh, okay.
So instead of completely canceling it, they just split it so they can sell 2 trades.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'm cool with that because I love this series, and I'm kind of bummed to see how it's going to end. And I'm kind of curious to see how they're going to wrap everything up in one issue. But
they're not.
So if they're going to have just open ending, ending, it's like, well, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah, they're gonna go on to do another 6 issues after these are done. So that's what's going on with Prez. I don't know when they announced that, but
cool. I don't care as long as they get more Prez.
Yeah.
All right. Let's.
Well, you're gonna get one more issue and then have a break, but you're gonna get more eventually. Okay. They say.
Watch it ever come to fruition.
I know. Yeah, it might so never bummed. Happen. All right, you guys have any more slick transition to our next book, or do I have to go a little cold into the next book?
Gonna have to go cold in the next one.
All right. Brace yourselves. Are your bodies ready?
Yes.
Art Ops number 1, writer Sean Simon, art by Michael Allred.
This was a interesting premise. Didn't do enough to really convince me to keep reading this book either.
No, I'm convinced. I'm hook, line, singer with this book.
This I thought was a new idea in comics, and I like the art, and therefore
The art was good just because, you know, it's all red.
Well, that was the selling point in this book.
You know what's funny? They killed a character in the beginning, the female, and she looked just like Dawn.
Yeah, they did.
Coincidence?
Well, that's just because all red. But however, when he had to draw Mona Lisa, or Lisa, as they were calling her, damned if she didn't look like a walking, talking version of the Mona Lisa. So good on him for being able to do that. Such a weird plot this book has.
Yes. I love it. I absolutely think this thing has legs to go on for on and on and on.
It's a book about an agency that regulates, apparently art comes to life in this
world. Yeah.
And this Mona Lisa that she was put in like the witness protection program or some shit.
Yes. They replaced the Mona Lisa. They created another Mona Lisa to go in its place, and people don't notice that it's missing because they kind of had to take the Mona Lisa away to keep her safe from whoever was trying to steal her. What I assume is our main character.
Main character, I guess it's the mom of the kid who lost his arm. His name is Reggie. It's the mom. I don't know if they said her name, but she's like she heads the agency.
Well, Reggie is the main character because the mom, along with the entire agency, gets kidnapped. Disappeared.
Which means that this book will probably has a short shelf life and it'll end.
Well, no, because if he recovers them and gets them back,
he just becomes it. But what if, you know, I mean,
well, it can continue to follow him and continue to follow what's going on.
Who writes this book? Or I mean, not who writes it, but who publishes this book?
Oh,
it's Vertigo.
No. Oh, so this could be one of those books that could be canceled.
Yeah, that's why. When I thought this book, I looked at it and I immediately thought, oh, this is definitely an Image book, and this has, you know, legs that can go on forever. But now I'm looking at the publisher, Vertigo, which,
Image, DC is relaunching the Vertigo line. You know, we had that clean room last week. Peter Milligan's got his book coming out. There's going to be the Iraq book. They're doing a big push. They're doing a lot of books, and they're all completely different, which is what Vertigo should be. And they're trying to relaunch it. So I don't think we're going to have a lot of these books get canceled quickly, because DC is, you know, they're giving it a push. Like they want Vertigo to be a thing again post Fables. And even when Fables was still ongoing, Vertigo was pretty much the subline that published Fables. And they wanted to get away from that. Instead of having one really strong book, they want to have a bunch of books that kind of do well. Hopefully a couple of them, one of them, two of them will get a following, but we're going to go with this for a little bit.
Yeah, the Reggie character, his girlfriend was killed. They were out in the town. Apparently they were attacked by some
graffiti.
Yeah, graffiti that killed him.
The graffiti that came to life.
He was going off to buy drugs.
Yeah, it was weed. They were buying weed.
Yeah, and the thing is, you think, you know, oh, the drug deal, it's going to go bad. It doesn't. It was actually the art. The graffiti pops out of the wall, which scared the
bejesus out of them, and then they shot.
The drug deal was, yeah, and they shot the wife, the girl. Or the girlfriend. The piece of art rips his arm off. But then his mom comes in to save it, and they create some kind of creepy art. Yeah, some kind of colorful arm for him, which he found is now indestructible, his art arm. But he has to spray it with something to keep it from taking over.
Yeah, take it over his body because it'll eat him away.
Yeah, and his mom sends him that stuff. He doesn't quite get along with his mom because his mom used to take him to work with her, but then she'd be gone at meetings, she said, all the time. It turns out she was a secret agent working for this group. She left instructions that if she ever disappeared, her fuck-up son is to be in charge of the agency. There's only one person left from this agency who had a name?
The Body.
Okay. And he has the power to erase people's memories?
Yeah, and he's also not seen by the human eye by most people. I guess he has to show himself to people to get seen.
Yeah, well, Reggie can see him.
Yeah, and so can the Mona Lisa. But
So our cast right now is Reggie, that guy, and the Mona Lisa.
Yes. And they're off to save the mom and the rest of them.
And the rest of this group. And given the fact that we now know the sort of premises, pieces of art can come to life and walk around on their own, this is pretty much a book that would never have to end. You can continually do, you know, your heroes and villains, your guest stars will be famous pieces of art. Some of them can be good, some of them can be bad. I'm sure they could do more with it, with the fact that, you know, not all art is of people. so we could have things or, you know, places, all kinds of weird shit they could do with this. And with all red drawing, it's got his style. It looks great. He could have a lot of fun with it. I have high hopes for this book. I enjoyed the first issue quite a bit.
Oh, you know, I'm looking at my list here of books. There's a book we probably should have bumped up to lightning round, and I guess we can review it right now. Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you
Chewbacca
know
can't talk, so this book...
It's really short, and most of the dialogue or most of the narrative really is heavily on this girl. And while she's, you know, somewhat interesting, her...
He can't talk. Well, so that's all they can do.
To me, it's more so the narrative is just so paper thin. It's like, even if you had really good dialogue for the character to talk about, like, the premise is so thin, it's like, why even bother?
Yeah, he helps to free the girl and her father and the others. We get a little, kind of a little backstory about Chewbacca having, like, PTSD as from being a captive slave when he tries to go, the sewer thing or some shit?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like a mine, right?
Yeah, the mine. They were going down.
They were mining, some sort of giant glowy worm things.
Yeah, that explodes.
That they use to fuel, like, weapons.
Yeah. And, he goes to confront the evil, boss guy. But, he's walking into a trap of explosives. He has a sniper, trigger a bunch of them that are all around to explode and, kill him. And that's where they leave the issue. I don't know if this is 3 issues or 5 issues, but this seems like something that's going to end next issue.
Yeah, it might as well. I'm sure, I mean, it's one of those things to where I imagine issue 1 sold really good because people just like, it's a Chewbacca book. I'll buy it and read it and see what it's like. But then after that, it's, you don't know how, you know, a series like this, what kind of legs it has.
I think it's 4 issues.
4? Okay.
I believe.
Okay. If I had my laptop, you know, I have my laptop here in front of me where, you know, I usually do the rundown of everything, but right now it's currently crashed, so I got to ask you guys to kind of do some heavy lifting here and tell me what our next book's going to be.
How about Kanan?
Okay, you know what? Actually, I've had a buddy of mine who's actually obsessed with Star Wars and told me that...
He said it's not Kanan, it's pronounced something else.
It's pronounced the way it would look like if it was spelled with a C, Canon.
Canon?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Canon, what was it, number 7, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, in the last issue, he was out cold from loss of blood. But and on the first page, we find him soaking in a Bacta tank, surrounded by the rest of the Ghost crew. But he's basically having a flashback dream from when he was a youngling and met Master Deepa to become her Padawan.
Yeah, and like I said, we saw instances where he was having flashbacks of the Jedi Academy. He's obviously training with the other, you know, Padawans and Yoda. And for some reason why there was this little scene or this little beat where, you know, obviously he injures himself, but it's not that bad, but Yoda tells him to go to the medical bay. And even when he gets to the medical bay, the doctor tells him, you know, it's not that big a deal. You're wasting my time here. Come back when you got some internal bleeding. But then there was some dialogue later that they showed that Yoda was talking to the doctor. And apparently they were talking about how, cause, Canon had some relationship to the girl in the tank.
His teacher.
Oh, okay. But this is before
this is when he was really young. It was before she was his,
teacher, right?
His teacher. Before he was her Padawan. And they did show, I mean, we heard a little bit about it. We, you know, how he would ask questions and stuff.
I think Yoda was trying to get him to become her Padawan.
So, yeah, he sent her down there for a reason. Like, first he was bummed out because he's like, you know, they're doing all this training. I got this minor injury, but Yoda insists on sending me down when in fact Yoda knew exactly what he was doing.
Can I say the Jedi are kind of dicks? Because I thought, like, he's sitting in class and they're having their lessons and he asks a question and I thought it was a perfectly reasonable question. Yeah. And they basically like shit on him for even asking it.
Yeah, he just said, oh, we picked all you guys as to be the nukes, candidates to be Jedi's by being Padawans. And then Canon brings up the point. He's like, oh, so that's the way we pick Jedi's now. Huh, I'm just curious what kind of mentality goes behind that. And I think Mace Windu
and why nobody questioned it. And
yeah.
Like, what's wrong with asking questions?
Yeah, if it's legit, they should have answers for him.
Yeah, and they didn't. There's, well, you shouldn't have your paddle on, you fucker. Ask him questions. Well, no, he's just, that's a good thing. No wonder the Jedi Order died out.
Miscommunication or just blind allegiance.
His master, Deepa, she's being stigmatized, I think, by some people because she's seen as a failure. Because 90% of her brigade or whatever the hell she was leading, died. Yeah.
And she said she didn't know if she'd be as effective in the future because, you know, she still knows everything she knows, but due to the fact so many of her people died, she doesn't know if she could command, you know, the same way because she'd always be worried about that, which makes her less effective.
Which sort of goes back to the point where maybe they didn't have that much faith in Kanan or Kanan, and that's why they stuck him with her. And the reason why they didn't want to tell him the mentality that went behind him being picked to be a Padawan was because they thought he was a mess up and they didn't want to tell him to his face.
Well, yeah, but if he was a mess up, wouldn't they just kick him out?
Yeah, they could just
do that. But I guess
they tell him you can't be a Jedi.
But I think they saw some potential in him, so they were kind of like, well, he has some potential, but we're not going to put him on the A team or the B team or even the C team. We're going to stick him on, you know, literally the flunky team, and let's see if something develops, but we don't have too much faith in him.
She's still on the Jedi Council, though.
Yeah, but still, so, as far as when it comes to, like, field missions, maybe they have no faith in her.
I don't think so.
But then they bring up, you know, that, you know, for at least for them, there was a reason why that her team failed, because they were going up against Grievous. And Grievous is one of those characters to where, outside the movies, they paint him as a badass, so.
Okay. Yeah, I had to read about that.
Uh-huh.
Cause I looked it up, cause I'm like the fucking goofy robot guy who coughs all the time. And yes, it turns out that's only in the movie he's non-threatening.
Yeah, you still haven't seen that, Clone Wars, hand-drawn animated series, have you?
Nope.
They paint him as absolute, like, a killing machine.
Okay. Well, so, yeah, I read about it, so it's fine.
Okay. Marvel, what's our next book?
How about Where Monsters Dwell?
I love this. Okay, this book sort of answered a lot of criticisms I have the book, because I'm like, okay, this guy is a pretty terrible character, but for him to be going all through all this, it seems kind of mean-spirited. But in this issue, they sort of justified all the things that they've been doing to him.
He's a horrible, horrible human being, and he got what he deserved in the end. the chick was the guy's sister.
Yeah, and she's a lesbian. And
yeah, she did not kill her husband, even though everyone thought she did. Yeah, she was on that island because what happened was, when her brother died, she had to get married off.
Yeah.
But she was gay.
Cause the family needed the money and.
Yeah.
So she married some dude, even though she's gay, and she
got him drunk every night and then just told him he was good.
Are you a lesbian? She said, no, I'm not a lesbian.
Sorry, I wanted to see what Sheiky had to say on the matter.
She tricked him into thinking they had sex multiple times.
Yeah.
And then they went on a cruise, and he was very interested in bird watching, and he ended up falling off the edge of the boat and drowning.
Yes.
However, since she, the other people on the boat noticed that she seemed to hate him because she did, they had just assumed she pushed him. Even though she didn't, they made very clear, they showed the art and everything, she did not kill him. She had to escape. So she did, and she wound up on that island with him.
And even when she was telling the story, she was, you know, telling back what happened. She's like, look, I have you at gunpoint. I have no reason to lie to you. When I tell you he fell over and died, he fell over and died.
Yeah. And, she ends up, she's gonna kill him, but then she, you know, she lets him go. Yeah, her brother had told her that,
apparently the brother was in that one book for Secret Wars that we never read.
Yeah, cause they referenced it.
And I guess he was in that book as well?
Wasn't it what did he call himself at the end, towards the end of the book? The Phantom Eagle?
The Phantom Eagle?
And they even brought up in the, you know, they have those little boxes in the Marvel books where they say, oh, so-and-so is a reference to the original Eagle Phantom. Check it out.
Yeah. I didn't know there was another book.
Yeah, I remember the book. We never read it.
Marvel, can you, like I said, we'll try to wrap up this review, but can you very quickly see who wrote that first volume of Phantom Eagle? See if it was a, I doubt it was Ennis. It couldn't have been, right? Laura, would you know if Ennis would have done,
Yeah, I'm looking it up, but I don't have the...
Look, the original character was from the 40s.
Yeah, it's an old character. Okay. So I don't know if they're referring to a recent one, or... I see some art here that looks...
Yeah, there was a recent one, I think, for Secret Wars.
But is the...
Okay, there was a... Wait, there was a Max one. Garth Ennis, yeah.
See?
Oh, Howard Chaykin did the art.
Ooh. That might be something worth checking out today.
2008.
Okay, so it wasn't Secret Wars. Must have been some recent thing, like a couple years ago then.
Hey, speaking
this is it. War is Hell, the first flight of the Phantom Eagle.
Well, anyways, she lets him live, and, after pointing out how much of a horrible human being was, he let those small little, tribes people die, get beat up, and he didn't rescue the other, captives. He had this plan to put his boat over the waterfall, and, flying down, when he's going down, hopefully that'll start up his motor and he'll be able to fly, and she didn't think it would work. So it does end up working, and he flips her off. I'm on the island with over 200 6-foot-tall blondes or whatever.
Yeah, so, she's happy. She's in paradise. Perfect weather, and then her pick of all the tropical females she wants. So what does she care if he made off?
Yeah. Well, he looks like he succeeds, but then he flies into a lightning storm, which knocks his plane out of the sky. And then at the end, he ends up in the island of Dung with the woman he impregnated in the first issue, cast off there forever.
and all they do is collect dung, and they have houses made of dung, and oh god,
and
so
of course,
great.
And of course, she's completely oblivious to it. She's all, oh, my dad said you weren't coming back, but I knew you would, and here I am. I mean, obviously I was excommunicated, but it was worth it, because I love you.
Yeah. Poor guy, but he deserved it.
This is one of those things to where, the last couple issues were getting kind of mean-spirited, to where he was a jerk, but he didn't deserve stuff like this. This book where he got away from that, but by him getting away from that, he proved how much of an awful human being he was. So at the end, when he got his ending, you were like, no, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Seems fair.
Proper.
Marvel or next book?
How about Spider-Man 2099?
Okay, you know what? I like this book. No more than I usually do, but yeah, I think it was just you, Marvel, you really put it over this week. I think even you said it was contender for Book of the Week, right?
They did exactly what I said they were going to do, which they needed to, because you got all these Spider-Man books and all the characters are kind of the same.
Well, here's my criticism of the book. It's when you have Spider-Man 2099 rolling, bebopping around, it's like, why do you need Peter Parker out there for?
Because he's his boss.
But I'm saying, what do you need? Why does he need to be a superhero anymore when you have this Spider-Man character who has all the same powers, and even to the point where it got a little ridiculous to point, why does he need a web sling when he has the rocket boots?
Why? Well, boots. They explained why in this issue, because he's angry. Because his girlfriend, pregnant with his child, was murdered.
Yes, and the book opens with him waking up after, looks like there was a vehicle, VBID, a vehicle-borne IED that, crashed into the, coffee shop they were in. Apparently there were several of these that took place at the same time. He wakes up, he's wondering where Tempest is, and, he meets her mom, and she tells him that she's dead.
Slaps him.
Yeah, slaps him.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't, she blames kind of him for dying, pretty much. It's like, it wasn't his fault, but she needed somebody to blame. The attacks were pulled off using what appear to be robots, after he did some examination with, what's her name, that little hologram he uses?
Oh, I forget, Lila? But she does have a name, yeah.
Layla, whatever her name
is. Layla? Well, she did, she did a thing where, like, she's talking to him, trying to convince him not to, because, I mean, his goal is to go find out who did this and kill them.
Yeah. And she's trying to convince him, like, I don't think she would want you to do that.
Yeah. And then she, like, uses her voice and takes her form. And Miguel's... he's, like, dead serious. He's like, if you ever do that again, I will erase you. Like, Miguel is not joking around anymore. His girlfriend died. She's pregnant with his kid. He's pissed.
Yeah, the He learned from one of his tech guys that the robot appeared to be similar to the designs of somebody named Dr. Kronos, who was like the top robotics guy in the world. And apparently he's a teacher of Dr. Doom.
Yeah, they're like, well, isn't Doom the master of robotics? And they're like, yeah, that's kind of true, but the fact of the matter is, you gotta think, somebody taught Doom, so we need someone who knows things about robotics, so let's talk to the person that taught Doom.
So yeah, he mentioned how he kind of disappeared off the face of the planet, but he hadn't heard he died, so he tracked him down for Miguel. And apparently he's in some warehouse somewhere in New York. And so, you know, he goes to track him down. And then he's attacked by what looks like a robotic Dr. Kronos.
That's weird. A robotic version, or it could be just, you know, he's made these modifications to his body.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing, because it looked like his head was there, but the body's all robotic, so.
He's gonna end up not killing him in the end, because she wouldn't have wanted that.
Well, unless they want to make this into the Dark Spider-Man book.
Well, that's what they're doing right now, but.
And keep it that way.
I don't know if they're going to keep it that way.
Good. Piss people off.
We'll see.
And he still works for Peter, so.
Yeah. No, it was a good book. I liked it.
I liked this book. All right, Marvel, what's your next book?
Angela, Queen of Hell.
Oh, God. Speaking of books that were a complete chore this week.
It was all right, but.
I didn't find it to be a chore.
I don't know if I ever want to really read this book again.
Yeah, okay, there's a reason why we dropped Angela initially, because I'm like, I don't care about this book. I never want to read it ever again. And I gave it another try because it's a number one, so I was like, you know what? Number one serve a good purpose in the sense that books I didn't like, maybe they can try to win me over again. But this reminded me why I don't like the Angela book.
You know what I find annoying about this book? Everything. And they did it in the Secret Wars version too, where they're telling a story. And they're someplace, and it looks like they have another sub-story going on, but they flip back and forth a lot. So sometimes you have to reread to make sure.
Yeah, I had a problem with that.
You don't know which one's the present-day story.
Yeah. That was, in fact, my only real problem with this book. Well, the current story is the one that took place in Hell.
Yeah, she's the Queen of Hell, and Sarah is the royal consort. And, you know, they kind of give the explanation of what hell is made out of. You know, like what it makes up.
Yeah, Norse hell isn't all bad.
Yeah. Yeah, some of it is part kind of heavenish.
Well, unless you're an angel.
Yeah. If you're the angels that, are all sent to hell.
Well, this is also, I don't think this is the hell that Mephisto reigns over. This is sort of the
Asgardian
hell.
This is H-E-L.
Yeah, so it's not quite, you know, flame and brimstone hell. It's just like.
Well, part of it is.
The word of hell. As we know, it comes from Norse, like, I guess from that, you know, that area, that Norwegian Norse area, H-E-L. That's how it is. That's how it's spelled in their mythology. So.
Well, but in Marvel, there are multiple afterlives, and one of them is like, you know, hell that Mephisto lives in, and one of them is hell, this one, which is like the Norse afterlife.
Yeah. So, you know, once there, Angela finds that angels have passed on serve as slaves to the queen. And, this becomes another mission for her to carry out. I guess, I don't know if she's gonna, you know, free him or what now, but there's some sub-story going on with Sarah and Angela. And they flip back and forth. I was a little confused on this. And, yeah, cause at the end, it looks like Sarah's possessed.
Yeah, Sarah's possessed, or she was trapped in hell and Angela had to go save her. But then at the beginning of the book, they show her reigning over hell with her Sarah. So it's like, you don't know which one's current or which one's the future or which one's the past. And it's like, especially with this book to where I'm not a super big fan of the character. It's like, this is enough reason for me to drop the book.
I like the art a lot.
Yeah, the art was good.
Yeah.
I just,
we can't be all negative. So
why should I read this?
I don't even know if I'm, you know what? I'm not even reading.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading it and I'm, you know, I don't hate it, but I can't come up with a reason to read it. It's like, I have no affection for this character. It's not badly written, but it, you know, it's jumping around to stuff that isn't referencing things we know, because to Marvel, it's the new character.
Is this the first time they've also established that Angela is a lesbian? They've always kind of hinted at it.
Well, ever since they introduced the Sarah character.
No, but even remember when she was on the Guardians of the Galaxy, she was making all googly eyes at Gamora.
Oh yeah, they did. So, this is the most blatant it's been.
Well, no, no, I don't think it's blatant in the sense that they just came out and said, okay.
Well, she makes out with a chick in this issue. Yeah, so
that's
that.
Blatant. So.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying up until now, they could sort of hinted at it or really, you know, heavily handled it, you know, hinted at it. But this one, they just openly came out and said, okay, she's a lesbian.
In the Secret Wars book, she was pretty blatantly with Sarah.
But I still think they kept it kind of ambiguous.
We see a guy of some sort.
Yeah, there's that whole weird thing.
And we don't know whether she got a sex change or if it was magic that turned him into a woman or if it's still a dude dressed in drag. We don't know.
Well, it's not a dude dressed in drag.
Are you sure about that?
It's a chick now. Yeah, it's a chick.
All right.
Okay. Next book.
Justice League 3000. One.
This is a book that, since from the get-go, I haven't been too high on, but there's been a couple good issues that I've liked. This one, straight up, I don't want to read this anymore.
Really? I kind of liked it.
Really? I thought, because they moved the story forward pretty dramatically when they had it revealed that Lois is evil. Because the robot...
Yeah.
The robot just kind of blurted it out.
Oops. That was my, what did he say? He said something like,
oh. Well, they know that he has the thing where he's not 100% bad, but his good side leaks out every once in a while. And it leaked out. Was he talking to Superman?
Yeah, it was Superman. He's like, oh, yeah, what a weird time for that thing to happen.
He's like, oh yeah, she's just, going to meet with the Injustice League right now. And then he's like, oh yeah, wait, what? And then he kind of apologized. The other story is, Batman is on Earth, the prison planet, and there was a, another Batman.
Yeah.
Inspired by, okay, so this Batman was inspired by Legends of Batman, but they were incorrect legends.
Yeah.
And was fighting with the current Batman, who is Bruce Wayne, who is telling her, no, that's not the way it was. And she's like, oh yeah, it is. What do you know?
And it's a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, it's a 15-year-old girl and a Batman robot.
Yeah.
Then they also had,
Guy Gardner learned that, the reason why he was experiencing shit from the host's prior, memories, because you know it's a woman.
Is because he was cloned on the cheap.
Yeah,
that's my favorite part. They brought they not enough to brought the Justice League, but they were gonna still try to do it on the cheap.
Yeah, because
Firestorm told him, "Well, you were done 30% cheaper."
Yeah, because they asked him to cut the budget, and they figured this was a good way to do it.
So what?
Yeah,
did ensure
him they could erase all the memories.
But that wound up being a lie, because he would have all these crazy, wacky dreams, or when he get drunk, he'd see all these things that he's all, you know what, I was never a woman, why do I have all these memories of being a woman? And
well, they haven't done it yet, he said they could do it.
Yeah, and then they brought up all these instances, or the instance of Gardner, where it's not a clone body, it's just someone who volunteered their body to be, you know, for the part of the experiment, or I guess... You know, this,
all right, yeah.
Them
yeah,
bringing back the Justice League.
Yeah, they volunteer to be the host.
And they sort of hinted that might not be on the level too. A little bit.
Well, I think it's on the level, but they just, you know, they're still a company. They're still trying to make a profit, so they cut corners.
Hmm. Well, I also liked Future Bane.
Yeah.
It was just, apparently the Injustice League is kept like on a base somewhere and they're not allowed to leave. So Bane is one of them and he's just gone completely nuts. He just kind of runs around kid.
He has the lowest body and he's like, well, I didn't do anything weird with it, but I had stuff like tea parties with it.
Yeah. Because he still had Lois's body and he like drags it out. And yeah, that's what he said. He's like, well, sometimes I like dress it up and have a tea party.
He was like, what are you doing with that body? He's like, I know what you're thinking, but I did nothing of the sort. I'm a complete gentleman. He's all so much to the degree I had like tea parties with it.
Why do you want to drop this book?
Cause it just comes out as, unconsequential, and it's just like, it's funny, but it's not funny enough to be a comic
book.
What is
it? It takes place in the year 3001 in the DC universe. It's completely inconsequential.
Okay,
it's gonna, but it's...
There was also some stuff with Fire and Ice, where escorting Turtle Boy, who's one of Jimmy Olsen's descendants, to the Tekron. And this is where only the most dangerous, most powerful criminals are kept. And it turns out that all of the other inmates are Marvel heroes.
Oh, were they? I didn't even notice
that. If you look closely, there's a Hulk, there's a Spider-Man.
I didn't even notice.
And, that's funny. And when they were entering, they looked like there was a Stan Lee or some sort.
That's what I noticed. There was like there was a stand-in for a Stan Lee character.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny. I didn't notice that.
And then there was mention of Booster Gold and Blue Beetle.
Well, they've been in the book.
Yeah, well, they've been mentioned in the book, but they are, in fact, in that 3001 universe, so.
Well, yeah, because Booster Gold's from the year 3000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like OG Booster Gold.
And OG,
And they're the super buddies.
Why isn't that a book? Like, I know they've experimented with the idea, and they got me to read that one episode, one issue of, I think Justice League or something. But why, you know, with them just handing out books like it's, you know, going out of style or like, you know, piss, it's like, why not just give them a book and see how it does?
Booster Gold and Blue Beetle book?
Yeah.
Cause I don't think they don't, those two characters don't exist in the New 52. They're here. The problem is, Booster Gold and Ted Kord, Blue Beetle, they're pre-New 52 characters. So they exist in this book because of the weird, you know, we copy their memories thing.
Yeah, they're playing fast and loose with the continuity, but it's also
they don't exist in the normal DCU, so they can't do a book.
Yeah, and, but because
I mean, this book's doing fine, but it's not successful enough to get a spinoff.
Well, I guess that's what I would mean. You know, ideally, be wanting because I would want it to be the original Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, but why not just have a new Blue Beetle and a Booster Gold for the New 52. I know they have a new Blue Beetle already. Why not just pair him up?
Because he's a different character.
Yeah, but you can still sort of... I think there's enough...
The new Blue Beetle is like 17.
You could still do something with a Booster Gold, and you could do the whole...
But it's a completely different dynamic.
Yeah, you could have like the Odd Couple.
But that's not what people want. Like, if you're going to bring back those two characters and do something with them... They would do it with the characters,
Do what you're doing with Clark and Lois.
Because you don't want to overdo that gimmick. And it's one thing to do it with Superman. It's another if, like, okay, we did this once with Superman and it's working, so now we're going to do it with Blue Beetle and Booster Gold.
Why not?
It's not.
Just openly admit that the New 52 is a complete failure, and let's just bring back all the old characters.
Well, it's not a failure, because they didn't bring back all the old characters. They just brought back Superman.
Yeah, but just, come on.
All right, let's, next book.
Okay, you know, since I don't have a list of books in front of me, let's talk a book I really want to talk about. It's another contender for Book of the Week, in my opinion. Black Magic? Is that what they call
it? Yes, Black Magic.
Oh.
Luro's pick.
Oh,
it was a good issue. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's a story about a Wiccan witch detective who they show her in the middle of a ceremony in the beginning of the book, but then she's called off to duty. Apparently, they need her to help free some hostages from someone who appears to know
who
she
is. I love the way this book opens up because you don't know what this book's going to be. You see the name, it's Black Magic. So it opens up with this, you know, these people doing a seance, and you think, oh, this is like the.
Not a seance.
Oh, whatever. They're doing it. They're casting a spell or whatever. You think it's the 1400s or whatever. And then somebody.
You didn't really think that. You knew what was going to happen.
No, I didn't know. I went in completely cold.
She's a cop on the front cover of the book.
That's what I'm saying. It's a cop.
Like, this was telegraphed.
Let's put it, I skipped past the cover because of, reasons.
Yeah, people skip.
Oh, God.
So I initially thought
I looked at the cover, so I knew what was going on.
Okay, I didn't look at the cover, so I thought maybe it was. So, but the thing is, there was this instance where there was this thing going off. So it was explained that it was a cell phone. I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't going to be one of those books where it takes place in the past.
Yeah, I knew that from the cover
because I don't look at the cover. See, I like to go in cold Marvel. That's the way the writer wants.
How do you go in cold? Didn't you buy this book?
I bought it today, but I read it
And so you didn't notice it when you bought it?
Let's put it this way. I read it through nefarious means, and then I thought it was so good I went and bought a physical copy. But when I did the nefarious means, which you guys, you know, Comic Conversations does not endorse, you know, I just skipped past the cover.
Okay, well, me and Marvel thought it was an obvious,
yeah. Well, anyway,
swerve.
So she goes to attend to this, hostage negotiation going on. The guy who's keeping these hostages, he knows who she is. Apparently, she comes from a long line of witches. And he appears to be afflicted by something. And he was hoping that she would be able to cure him or something. And then, like, she kind of puts her hand towards his head, and she's like, "Oh, there's nothing I can do." So he got pissed, and he was about to light her on fire because he had Froon gasoline, kerosene all over the place, and he was gonna burn her alive. But she cast a spell in between all this and caused it to hex him to drop his lighter on himself because he was still covered with some of that kerosene.
But my favorite part of this book was, you know, obviously they're trying to talk him down. But then obviously they're like, this guy knows what he's doing because he put kerosene everywhere, so we can't throw like a flashbang or something without the whole place going off.
Yeah, and he told her to take off her stuff because he knew he was obvious there was a wire. Yeah, he was smart. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, this how you know it was a Rucka book when you had stuff like that sprinkled in there.
Yeah, so at the end of the book, the guy ends up dying. And that's pretty much it. I don't remember if it led to anything for the next issue. I don't remember.
I would just like to personally thank Laro for picking another fantastic book out of the blue. Well, I guess it's not really out of the blue.
Well, this one is mainly because I saw that Rucker wrote it. And
well, so far you're batting what? I think 9 out of 10 for picking up books for us to read?
Yeah, but a lot of times I pick stuff that I know is going to be bad too, so it balances
but
out.
But at least you don't try to, you know, present it as, oh, this is another book I'm going to read that's going to be good. This week and last week you've picked very good books that I normally wouldn't have had the idea to read. So
no, I usually don't pretend they're going to be good if I don't think they are. But yeah, I was right on this one. Fantastic art, by
if
the way.
You pretend they're going to be good, you're going to be like those people you were ranting about last week with the women writers.
Oh, I wonder if we have any new books written by women writers next week I can have us read.
We got one last book. We got Book of Death.
Speaking of books, our contender for Book of the Week.
Wait, let me complain. I complained to Marvel about this. When a focal point of your story is the death of a main character, and then immediately upon finishing the book, you are given a preview for a book starring that character, that is stupid.
Well, they sort of swerved us here.
No, there was no swerve. They killed Eternal Warrior, and they said, oh, he's going to get his final death now because the world is safe. Everything's going to be fine. The Geomancer is supremely powerful, even though she's young. She knows what she can do. You know, everything is right, and, you know, we don't need the Eternal Warrior anymore, which apparently means the Geomancer is going to live forever. I'm not sure how that works.
Why wouldn't what's his name come back though? The Eternal Enemy.
I don't know, but the point is, it then goes on to give you a preview for the new Eternal Warrior book, which we will be reading. And it's like Gilead's adventures in the afterlife. So he's gonna come back. We knew he was gonna come back before the comic was even over. You could have waited. Like, you don't have to do that. Just let me think he died a heroic death, and they didn't.
See, here's the difference between me and you.
Well,
and
heroic.
Yeah. Well, here's why I'm glad I do the show with you guys, because I just that naturally thought, well, we're gonna get a new Eternal Warrior, right?
No, it's the same one.
No, they've been announcing the new Eternal Warrior for a while now.
Yeah. Well, there's that too. They did announce this book before this even ended. So, oh well, it was still a really good issue.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was an awesome book.
I mean, I don't think the ending was as good as the last crossover, the last mini.
I think part of that is because we already knew the book was getting he was getting another book right away.
That's true. I'm sure a lot of it was that. Yeah, you're right.
Heard a lot because I was reading. I was like, you know, this is a good book, but there's something about this that I don't know. And then like when Laurel mentioned the thing about him having another book, And I'm like, yeah, that's probably why. That's probably why.
Go figure.
Cause, you know, it was, you know, the final issue. It was a strong issue. Gilad and Tama, you know, they had a good dynamic. He's worked with many Geomancers in the past. And, but, you know, he really connected with this one. The final confrontation with Dark, was it Mr. Dark? It was pretty exciting. Yeah, it was, you know, the battle didn't, you know, avoid a lot of cliches, you know, what you would think, you know, it makes the, you know, there's this like race against, having to, stop, the other Geomancer David. Cause I guess they're doing something in order to, they were trying to get his power so they can get hers too. And then Mr. Dark would have all the power or something.
Yeah, he wanted the power of the two Geomancers. Cause he was like, well, you know, if I put the power of the Geomancers into one of them, then I can absorb the power. But while there's two Geomancers walking around, you know, the power is split and I can't take it.
Yeah, he was about to, he was kind of setting it up in his little underworld, I guess to remove the power. So, but, you know, Gilad was down there and he's being overrun by all these demons. He's getting cut up. It looks like he's going to die. He's able to, I guess break the seal and, save that other Geomancer David.
Well, he was never any threat. Even he brought the fact that he's just, you know, he's just trying to, kill time so he could absorb the Geomancer's power. But he's like, you know what? Yeah, I realize I'm just going to put these skeleton soldiers in his way just to sort of kill time. Cause even though I can have my guys, you know, hack him to bits or whatnot, it's still not going to kill him.
Yeah. So, you know, he escapes out of there. And, once he was able to free David, this helped Tama, you know, to use her powers on him. And, she's able to, she, you know, becomes all powerful and,
She turns him into a tree.
Turns him into a tree.
It was fairly violent death, actually. Like, she doesn't, like, turn his leg into a tree. She actually kind of grows, like, they show, like, the tree growing out of his mouth.
Yeah, it's like the roots go through his entire body, starting at his feet, and they go through his mouth, and at the end he becomes a tree.
Probably should have burnt the tree down, by the way.
I can foresee this coming back to haunt them.
Yeah, like, they're like, oh, look at this creepy tree. She turned him into a tree. Oh, let's just leave it here.
But then, you know, we could also make the argument, well, if you, burn the tree, you free him to, you know, go back to being his normal human form and wreak havoc.
Well, or you burn him and.
Or, you know what I do? I'd imprison the tree.
They could put the tree in the little thing, like, with Divinity, or they stuck him underground.
Yeah, there you go.
They could do that, unless Harada's like, hey, I'm gonna go get this guy.
Cause he's gonna help me, and he's gonna be, he definitely won't turn on me, right?
He'll help.
God, I hate Harada.
Gilad dies, David is reunited with his mother, and he gives his Geomancer power to Tama. And she's now the sole Geomancer. And, it looks like Gilad will continue to have adventures in the afterlife for the time being.
So I was under the impression that because this happened the way it did, it sort of nothing came to prophecy the way it was written in the Book of Death.
Yeah, pretty much. She was having her read out of there, and it was always going to change. But he's like, you know, we're going to change it. So yeah, they broke prophecy more or less because there was supposed to be an end to a lot of stuff, and now that's all out the window.
Cool. All right. I'm excited to see where they go with the Valiant Universe, because up until now, it's been all good, and going forward, I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go into our next segment, Book of the Week. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is
awesome when we live in our dream. The great feeling all time I had all my life.
Okay, gentlemen. Your picks for Book of the Week.
I will go with Book of Death.
Okay. Certainly, I can't argue with that.
I'm going to go with Book of Death, too.
I'm going to go with Black Magic. I love that book.
No, I mean, yeah, it's a good choice.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
Yeah, up until Black Magic, though, I was going to go with Prez.
God.
I you know, it was a still really strong book, and I really liked it, but not quite up to par on Black Magic. I absolutely love that new series, so by all means, check it out. All right, let's go into our final segment, next week's books. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. Okay, you guys know the gimmick? List off a bunch of titles that come out next week, and I will play a stenographer and write them down for the folks at halfguard.com as well as iTunes.
We got number ones this week, ooh, just to warn you. But before that, we have John Flood, number four.
Hooray! Everyone's favorite book.
No, it's not mine.
Well, it's up there.
I like it, but it's not my favorite book. I don't think I've ever...
Is it in your fave five?
I don't know. A book that might be in my fave five, we have Clause number one from Grant Morrison.
Oh,
his
God.
Santa Claus Year One.
Oh God, have you seen the tagline for this book?
No.
The tagline for this book is as follows. It's my all-star Santa Claus.
So, yes. So he also called it Santa Claus Year One.
Yeah. It's only six issues, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's well enough for... we have another of the Vertigo launches. We have Unfollow number one.
Ooh. If it's as good as Black Magic, which I picked for Book of the Week, it should be.
That wasn't Vertigo.
Although that was Image, huh? So,
yeah.
Well, you know, Art Ops. That was a Vertigo book that I liked. Still, that was a good book.
Okay. Image is superior Vertigo.
We're reading all of these because.
Reasons.
You know, they could be good.
Yes.
Train Called Love, number two.
Yeah!
Of 10, by the way. This is a 10 issue.
That seems legit. It doesn't have, like, long legs, but at least it can go more than six issues.
Okay. We have Lazarus, number 20.
Uh-oh. This is shaping up to be a hell of a week.
Yep. And Comic List... very, very, very slow right now. Okay, here's a number one.
Well, you're batting 1,000, so by all means,
it's got a really good cover. It's called Monstrous Number One. It says steampunk meets kaiju. I don't know what kaiju is. Marvel?
Giant monsters in Japanese.
Original fantasy epic for mature readers.
Oh, sounds like a porn book.
Do we want to try to read this?
Who writes it?
Triple size first issue.
Who writes it?
An Aizen.
Does this Aizen have a name?
Marjorie
M. Liu. I've heard that name before.
Wrote Astonishing X-Men after we stopped reading it and Black Widow. We'll try it.
Okay. I'm just worried because it's that thing that Marvel just brought up. It's a triple size.
Oh, Paper Girls number two.
Yay.
I wrote
Stand on Guard number five of six.
Yeah, I knew that. Remember we were speculating last?
Yes.
Like, I mean, this seems like it's going to end because they killed just about everybody. But yeah, this confirms it.
It's going to be a Vaughn heavy week. Does Saga come out too?
Does what?
No.
Okay, because I'm mentioning those last two were Vaughn's book. Hey, speaking of which, I'm sure this is probably going to be like a late slip to you guys, but did you guys know, Vaughn wrote a Strange Run?
Yeah.
Okay. I just got an issue one of that today because they were doing a special promotions thing at comic book stores for Halloween, and I picked that up. What? I'm like, you're just giving this away? A Vaughn book, especially Doctor Strange, so that's cool.
Amazing Spider-Man number three.
Again? Back yeah. So soon?
It's Dan Slott, dude. He writes fast. Huh? We're not reading Contest of Champions, are we?
Nope.
I'll read it, but I won't review it. I just want to see if it leads to anything like.
Do we want to read Deadpool number one?
No, I don't.
Okay. Doctor Strange number two.
That I wouldn't mind reading.
And obvious book of the week, Drax number one by CM Punk. Which, by the way, list him as UFC fighter CM Punk.
That's
yeah, uncommon. You remember all those great UFC fights Punk has had?
Is he listed as CM Punk or is he listed as,
CM.
They say CM Punk on comic list.
Okay, not Phil Brooks.
Extraordinary X-Men number one, that is Jeff Lemire's X-Men book.
Ooh.
Jeff Lemire not batting 1,000 on superhero work, in my opinion, but
really?
He's very good.
What has he not written that you guys
go look up? Go look up what he's written on Wikipedia when we're done with the show. Hercules, number one.
And who's who? Okay, remember we teased that a couple weeks back.
And
who
we like? Abnett. He does.
The name sounds.
He did Guardians 3000.
Ooh, okay, I'm sold.
Yeah, very good cover. Howard the Duck, number one.
Yes, again.
Howard gets a hat.
Say less. First spectacular issue. Great jumping on point. Sure to go up in value.
Oh, wow.
They're good. Invincible Iron Man, number three. Miracle Man, number four.
Hell yeah.
Do we want to read Nova?
I'll give it a shot.
I will too.
Okay, I'm gonna put it on the list. I don't know about me though. It's kind of
Star Wars number 11.
We're looking at a stack week so far. I don't know if I make time for Nova.
Star Wars number 11. Oh, and we have Uncanny X-Men 600.
The final issue.
Final issue of Bendis's X-Men run from like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I'll read it.
Yeah, it's the last issue. Fuck it.
It's also got like 80 different covers, so.
I've seen some of the teases for it. Apparently it's gonna be one of the books that actually, deals with the fact that, you know, remember when all those Illuminati members were doing stuff that most of the superheroes kind of frowned on?
Uh huh.
So Ben is actually following up on something that was established that everybody chose to note sell.
Huh. Do we want to read Vision number one?
I'll read it.
Yeah, it's okay. A number one and it's, I don't have high hopes for the book, but I'll read number one.
I'll read it too. And Ninjak number nine.
Yeah, that's it.
Ninja K.
Yes, Ninja K.
That's what
number
I call
nine.
All right, well, I think
okay, is Ninja A, is he just Ninja? Or would he be like Ninja?
Go Ninja, no go Ninja, go!
I'm just wondering.
Go, 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 go!
Boop, 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 boop. That's everything.
Yeah. All right. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week.